I'm a big fan of superhero movies. I love the X-Men films. I love the Marvel MCU, for those of you who know what that is, and the DC Extended Universe. And I lap up all those films. I always have enjoyed that kind of thing. I grew up on the Christopher Reeve Superman films, if you remember those, and the old Biff Powell Batman stuff. I used to love all of those things. And in one of the old Superman films, there's a scene where somebody's trapped in a fire. And it's all going to go extremely badly for them. Until, of course, Superman comes to the rescue and he walks through the fire and he saves the day and he scoops the man up and he flies him home to safety. And as Superman is carrying this chap that is rescued through the air, he's still quite clearly terrified. And so Superman asks him, "What's wrong?" And he says, "I'm scared. If I fall, I'm going to die." And Superman replies to him and he says something like, "Do you really think I have the power to save you from the fire, but not enough power to take you safely home?" Sometimes it's easier for us to trust as a one-off event than it is to trust for every step of the journey. Sometimes it's easier for us to trust God for what's going to happen when we die than it is to trust him each day that we're still alive. He's going to save us from the fire, but will he lead us safely home? And as Liz said, we're in a series at the moment looking at the names that God uses for himself in the Bible. And today we're thinking about this name, Jehovah Rohi, which we translate as the Lord, my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd God, reminds us that God will lead us safely home. And that image of God as a shepherd to his people seems to be one of his favourite ways of describing himself. It's there in the very first book of the Bible when Jacob, on his deathbed, described God as God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. And it's there in the last book of the Bible when, in particularly confusing picture language, it describes Jesus as the Lamb of God, and then it says the Lamb in the centre of the throne will shepherd his people. And so you've got that lovely turnaround, the Lamb becoming the shepherd. And of course, Jesus described himself as the good shepherd, didn't he? And perhaps most famously of all, David wrote these words that I'm about to read to you in Psalm 23. And if you're wanting to follow in a red Bible, it's on page 555. If you're following on your phone, then it's whatever app you've got. And if you're following in the Bibles, you'll find that the words I'm going to read are just slightly updated because I've got a slightly newer translation, but it's all basically the same thing. Do I need to keep talking so you can find it, or are we there? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there's a dozen things I could say about that psalm. I just want to share two thoughts with you out of that psalm today. And I'm going to say something at the start that preachers almost never say. So make the most of this. Some of you only need to listen to the first thing that I'm going to say. Because for some of you, where you are at the moment, I think you possibly really need to hear the first point that I'm going to make today. And if that's you, now might not be the time for you to hear the second thing that I'm going to say, and that's absolutely fine. Feel free to sit back and stop listening after the first half of what I'm going to say if that's you. Just don't throw things at other people and distract them. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Have you ever thought about the fact that your soul is something that needs refreshing regularly? Or if you prefer the older translation, the one that I think is in the Red Bibles, it's something that needs to be restored regularly. Our souls deflate. They dry up, and we need the shepherd to restore them, to breathe life back into them on a regular basis. We're spiritual beings, and our spirits need to be fed and renewed just as much as our bodies do. And I want to start here because my sense is that this is where a number of us are at right at the moment. We're starting our third year of global pandemic. And there's been so much said and so much written about the effects that COVID has had on us as individuals and as a society. Over the last 2 years, our entire apple cart of our expectations of how life works and what we can rely on in life, what's safe and secure in life, has all been overturned. And that has affected us, I think every one of us, at a really deep level. It's affected us physically, it's affected us emotionally, and it's affected us spiritually. And my strong suspicion is that many of us are feeling wrung out at a really deep level at the moment. Maybe even ways that don't make sense to us. It may be that you've rested and you still don't feel renewed. It may be that you've made time to relax and socialise and you still don't feel renewed. You know, in the military, they refer to time off as R&R, and that's rest and recreation. But we need more than that. We need R&R. We need rest and recreation and refreshment. Our bodies need rest and our minds need recreation, but our spirits, our souls, need refreshment. And if you're only getting two out of those three, you're still going to end up feeling flat and dry and wrung out. And so God the shepherd wants to lead you and I to places where he can restore our souls. He will make you lie down. And if that doesn't work, he will make you lie down. Because he doesn't intend his children to run on spiritual empty. That's not what he wants for us. But here's the issue. We often get to the point of empty. We get to the point where the well is dry. We get to the point where we have nothing left to give and we feel run down and strung out and worn thin. And church feels flat because our souls are flat. And serving feels too much like hard work because we've got nothing left to give. And small group feels like hard work because we've got no spiritual energy left. And what we think is, maybe I need a week off. Maybe what I need is a glass of wine. Maybe what I need is to binge watch a series on Netflix. By the way, I'm not preaching against wine. I love a glass of wine. But it's not the solution to this problem. What we need is our soul restored. And there is only one person that can do that, and that's the shepherd. The only answer is to take time with him. Taking time to allow him to feed you. Taking time to lie down in the green pasture that he's leading you to. And taking time to feed your soul. Years ago, I heard somebody telling a story in the church that I was at the time, and it kind of made me smile. And the backstory to this is that a few days before, I'd been driving somewhere in Manchester, which is where I lived at the time, with my friend Pete, and we had seen a woman that we knew from church broken down in the road. And she hadn't done what any right-minded person would do, which is to break down at the side of the road somewhere convenient. She had broken down right in the middle of an extremely busy crossroads junction with traffic lights and cars coming from all directions. So Pete and I stopped and we did what any of us would do. We got out and we went to help her. And we pushed her car out of the middle of this busy junction and into a safe place. where she reassured us that she would call the RAC and that the RAC would come and take it from there. So we went on our way. The next Sunday, this lady is at the front of church telling a story about God's goodness. And she said, I broke down in the middle of the road and it was terrible and I prayed and God sent two wonderful young men to rescue me. And I quite liked that because I quite liked the idea of being a wonderful sent by God. And in all honesty, the timing was pretty spectacular. We were in a part of Manchester that we didn't live and she didn't live. And when she broke down, we were just two cars behind her. And I can quite believe that God had a hand in that timing. It was pretty cool. And then her story went on. After they rescued me, I prayed really hard that there would be nothing badly wrong with my car. And God is so good. When the RAC came out, the RAC man told me that I'd just run out of petrol. What? That's not the goodness of God. That's you being a wally. You had the ability to fill your tank at any point. You just didn't take it. You had the ability to fill your tank at any point. You just didn't take it. Do you know, I've had people say to me about church, I used to come to church, but I found myself feeling spiritually flat, so I stopped going. And I tried once again 6 months later, and I still felt spiritually flat, so I decided church doesn't work. What? If you are dry, if you are empty, if your soul needs to be restored, you do not need a rest from the shepherd. You need a rest with the shepherd. Can I say that again? Because it's really important. If you're feeling spiritually wrung out, if you are feeling dry and empty on the inside, you do not need a rest from the shepherd. You need a rest with the shepherd. And it may be that you need to stop listening at that point. It may be that you just need to take the next few minutes to ask Jesus what it's going to look like to spend time with him, allowing him to refresh your soul over the coming days or weeks or months or whatever it needs to be. Not to take a rest from the shepherd because you're feeling spiritually dry, but to take a rest with the shepherd so that you can actually get spiritually refreshed. So if that's you, feel free to stop listening quietly. Would somebody be really, really kind and get me a glass of water on the subject of refreshment? Thanks, Matt. I won't say anything interesting while you're out of the room, I promise. If that's not you, I want to take you to the end of Psalm 23, and I want to think for a minute or two about how the shepherd leads his sheep. And it may be that we need to pause and explore what I've just said for a moment before we move on, because the idea of God being a shepherd is picture language, obviously. I mean, God, you know that God isn't really up there with a crook and a bunch of sheep. It's picture language, and we're very used to that because the Bible's full of picture language. The problem is, for me, as a Western child who grew up in a city, that I have a mental picture of a shepherd, and it's wrong. It's totally wrong. Liz touched on this a couple of minutes ago. Let me try and explain. There has been a second ghastly global pandemic in recent years, and it's the epidemic of reality TV competitions. Strictly. And Bake Off. And the Pottery Throwdown and the Sewing Bee, thank you very much. And Glow Up and Face Off and an entire turgid morass of similar shows which are too dire and too boring for me to even mention. And I know Preaching 101 says find a way of relating to your congregation, and I've just alienated 90% of you. You'll just have to forgive me, it's good for you. But, oh, what a load of rubbish those programmes are. I really can't stand them. No time for any of them. But I trace them all back. Refreshment, thank you. I trace them all back to the granddaddy of dreadful TV competitions. And if you're under 40 years old, you'll probably never even have heard of this thing. But five words which struck terror into every child that grew up in the 1970s and had a TV set at home. One man and his dog. My grandmother used to come round every week to watch it on our telly, and I was made to watch it with her, and I had to endure it. My goodness, it was awful. Competitive shepherding as entertainment. I would rather have turned over to BBC Two and watched the snooker in black and white. It was the bane of my childhood. It was absolutely awful. You've never seen so many wax cotton jackets and flat caps on television ever. But these shepherds had to whistle and shout, come by, at their dogs. And these sheepdogs had to drive a specially trained mini flock of badly behaved sheep into a pen and into a circle in the field and around various obstacles over they had to overcome all these obstacles. And the shepherd would wave his crook. I think they were all blokes. The shepherd would wave his crook and the sheep would run away from him. And the shepherd would command his dogs and the sheep would run away from them. And so by a combination of fear and manipulation, the sheep were driven against their will to where the shepherd wanted them to be. And that became my mental image of a shepherd, because I lived in London and I'd never seen a shepherd in real life. That's what I grew up thinking a shepherd was. And actually in this country, I was probably right. But it is literally the opposite of the Bible picture of a shepherd, because in that part of the world, even today, they do things fundamentally differently. Do you remember in John 10 how Jesus described his relationship with his sheep when he described himself as a shepherd? He said this, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. A shepherd in Bible times didn't drive his sheep. He walked in front and they followed. He led them. The shepherd walked in front of the sheep and the sheep heard the shepherd's voice and they chose to follow that shepherd. And understanding that kind of unlocks this psalm and actually unlocks a whole load of other parts of the Bible that talk about God as a shepherd. God the shepherd is not God the sheep driver. He is God who invites us to hear his voice and to choose to follow. And so let's keep that understanding in mind as we go back and look at verse 5, which says this. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Which is enormous comfort. There's so much comfort in this psalm, isn't there? But it's also quite a challenge. I don't think that we need to be reminded that we're in the presence of our enemies. Some of us are facing health concerns, and that's an enemy. Some of us have been through bereavement and loss, and that's an enemy. Some of us are feeling that the sharp pain of broken relationships or breakdown that's out of our control, and that's an enemy. Others are facing loneliness or financial worries or concerns about our children or our grandchildren or mental health issues or some other thing that besieges our life. So, if I'm honest, I really don't want to read that God is preparing a table for me in the presence of my enemies. About 50% of my prayers are asking God to deliver me out of the presence of my enemies so I don't need to worry about them anymore. So what's this all about? I want to tell you something that it has taken me a long time to realize, and I still need God to keep reminding me of. And I think when we really grasp this fact and make it part of our lives, make it part of our understanding, it becomes quite a significant step forward in our spiritual maturity. What I want to tell you is this. There are things that will come into your life that God wants to use to deepen and strengthen your faith in Jesus. And there are things that will come into your life that the enemy wants to use to derail and undermine your faith in Jesus. And they are the same things. Can I say that again? Because it's really important. There are things that will come into your life. I'm not saying God brings them into your life. I'm not saying the enemy brings them into your life. There are just things that will come into your life that God wants to use to strengthen and deepen your faith in Jesus, to lead you to a deeper place with him. And there are things that will come into your life that the enemy wants to use to pull you away from Jesus, to undermine your faith, to leave you turning your back on God. And they are the same things. Because spiritual growth almost never happens when we're in our comfort zones. It's the enemies that we face that God will use to lead us to a deeper place in him. And so the shepherd sets a table in the presence of our enemies, because he asks us to choose to follow and to choose to trust, especially when our enemies press in. God won't drive us. He leads us, and he looks to us to follow. Let me put that another way. Not only is God laying a table for you in the presence of your enemies, but your enemies are laying a table for you in the presence of your God. And you and I choose on a daily basis where we are going to feed our souls. Or put another way, ask any sailor, right? We live by the sea, I know some of you sail. The wind can blow in one direction, and sailing ships can travel in literally opposite directions blown by that wind. Because it's not the wind, it's the way the sailor sets the sails that determines which way they're going to go. So we never need to be blown along by our enemies. We have the choice to dine with the shepherd. I'm mixing metaphors like a madman here. But are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? We are not at the mercy of our enemies. We decide how we are going to respond to those things. Let me put it one more way for you, if I can do this. I think most of you know that 2022 has got off to a pretty hard start for me and for my family. And I have to choose how I respond to that. And the truth is, I could come home rolling drunk tonight, and Astrid would probably meet me at the door, and she would probably say something like, "What is this thing, my husband? This is most unwelcome behaviour." And I could say, "You have no idea what I'm going through." And you know what? She's really gracious. I'd get away with it. I could come into work tomorrow and I could be vile to the rest of the staff team here. I could bully them. I could be rude to them. I could be prickly. I could be objectionable. And if any of them noticed the difference and complained, I could say, "Oh, but I'm going through so much." You know what? They're lovely. And I'd probably get away with it. I'm not making light, but please don't misunderstand me. I am not in any way saying that I am above doing those things. I am quite capable of doing those things and far worse, because I am broken and fallen and flawed beyond anything that you can imagine. What I am saying is that if I do those things, the fault is not my circumstances. The fault is not my enemies. The fault is myself. Because even today, God, my shepherd, is laying a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And it's my choice whether I follow his voice and go and dine with him, or whether I follow some other voice and lap up whatever muck my enemies throw down for me to feed my soul on. So God calls himself our shepherd. That's who he is. He will lead us to places where we can refresh our souls. He will set a table for us in the presence of our enemies. But being shepherded is a choice that you and I have to make every single day. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I want to pray for those of us who know that we're in a place where our soul needs to be refreshed. Lord, I know that so maybe all of us, certainly many of us, are just feeling dry at the moment. We're feeling like it's been such a barren season, such a desert season for the last couple of years. And Lord, I thank you that you, the Good Shepherd, lead us to places where we can lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters. And you want us to lie down and let you refresh our souls. And I pray for each one of us, Holy Spirit, that we would give you time and space. That we wouldn't try and refresh our souls with other things that aren't designed for soul refreshment. Lord, thank you that you've given us so many things that are good for refreshing our bodies and good for refreshing our minds, but we need to come to you to have our souls refreshed. And I pray that you would show each one of us how you want us to do that with you in your company. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are particularly aware at the moment of the presence of our enemies. Those of us who know that we're in a battle. Those of us who know that there are challenges and pressures on us. Lord, thank you that you set a table before our enemies for us. But Lord, we know that they set a table for us as well. And would you help us to choose to come to you? To choose to feed on what you give us, not on the rubbish that they give us. Because we want our souls to be refreshed. We want to be brought back to a place where we are spiritually full and healthy and walking with you. So Lord, would you meet with us in those times that we need to make a decision? And would you enable us to decide to come to you, to follow you? Even when it's easier not to. Lord, thank you that your voice is always there when we listen for you. Create in us a desire to follow your voice over and above everything else. In Jesus' name. Amen.